Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally, 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 80 countries around the world over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on harvesting rainwater when we come back. Hey, let me ask you this. What do you think is wrong with the Ten Commandments? Because it's pretty obvious that something is wrong with the Ten Commandments, because the Ten Commandments have been banned from our public schools. They have been banned from our public institutions. They have been banned from our national consciousness. Now, instead of these 10 simple time-tested laws, we see the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in their place. And now we teach the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in our public schools. We teach and practice them in our public institutions. We've made them a part of our national psyche. And this is a pretty radical change in our political and our moral outlook over the past 50 years. Are you aware, for instance, your daughter couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent? But your daughter can have an abortion arranged through that same public school nurse without even your knowledge, much less your consent. And that's why I contend that the solution to this kind of moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. You know, our founding fathers at the Constitutional Convention in 1787 practiced and they advocated the Ten Commandments. In fact, our founding fathers put 22 principles of the Ten Commandments into our federal Constitution. That is not separation of church and state. And there's still one school left in America that teaches this entire Mosaic Law. It's the Ten Commandments and the 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, as well as the 33 benefits and the penalties that we all receive for not practicing that law. Now, you know, every law has a penalty. You do not have to know what the penalty to the law is to suffer from its effects. So whether you call this the Mosaic Law, the Law of God, the Common Law, or Karma, or Natural Law, or something else, you know, it works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which just happen to be the natural penalties that we all pay for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package. That's the place to start. It's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general, and it's educational. It's informative. It's entertaining. Best of all, it's free, and you can call and order one right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we've been talking about harvesting rainwater, and I brought the subject up because here in the United States, we're suffering from drought. We've had and are suffering from right now a 10-year drought in the western states. Now, it hasn't stopped raining. It rains there, but it's not raining as much as we're used to, and so we call that drought. Then we're having water shortages, and we have water rationing, and we have the water police, and they're out here issuing tickets to people that are watering their grass and watering their lawns or washing their cars or whatever they're doing. You know, it's just places where you go in the restaurant, and they won't give you a glass of water unless you ask for it. And so, down in the southeastern United States, it's a drought condition down there. It's less time. You know, it's only been a year or two. But the point is, down in the southeastern United States, you know, we get 50 inches of rain a year. In Alabama, where it normally rains 50 inches, they're down to half that. They're getting 25 inches. And I brought this subject up because in Tucson, Arizona, they're not evacuating Tucson. They're not getting ready to evacuate the cities and towns of Arizona because they've only got 12 inches of rain, which is half the rain that they're getting in Alabama, which is half the rain that they're normally used to. So I pointed out, I said, you know, we've become a nation of spoiled brats. And I'm one of them. I don't deny it. I'm a spoiled brat. But you know, kids, at some point in time, all of us spoiled brats have to grow up and wake up and smell the coffee. You know, if you've got plenty, and I pointed this out earlier, I said, you know, if I got plenty of money and I got the time, effort, and energy, I'm going to drive my Winnebago. But you know, when the price of gas is $3 a gallon, we ain't driving the Winnie as much as we used to. I mean, that's just where reality's at. And the price of gas is going to $6 a gallon, and our government wants $1 a gallon out of that $6 for an energy tax. That's where we're going with the Al Gore program, global warming. Now, we've got a global warming problem. I told you that. But our global warming problem doesn't come from burning coal. It comes from disobeying our God. We will not practice the Ten Commandments. All right? Now, that's a given. You know, hell no, we won't go. We're not going to do it. All right. Well, now, as a result of that, we've got some penalties. One of the penalties I pointed out earlier in this series is that if we don't practice the Ten Commandments, we're going to get drought. Live and direct, coming to a city near you, because our God said so. He said, listen, troops, give me the finger, tell me to kiss off, and I'm going to shut off the rain. Now, I wouldn't know that if I hadn't looked in the scripture. So in program number one, I cited a bunch of scriptures here for you, and I said, well, here it is. Remember, I told you. I will give you rain in due season, God said in Leviticus 26, verse 4. Then he said in Amos 4, verse 7, he says, I will withhold the rain from you. Al Gore says, oh, that's poppycock. Don't you believe a word of it. The global warming is caused by burning coal in power plants. Okay. I'm not here to argue with Al Gore or you or anybody else. I'm a reporter. I just came here to tell you. Did you know that God said he's going to withhold the rain from you? All right. On the last program, I said the governor of Georgia down here, he was praying the other day. I saw him on TV. He's praying. He said, oh, Lord Jesus, won't you come and give us rain today? You know. Well, that's fine, and you ought to pray once in a while. I don't suggest, you know, that you ought not to pray, but there's a couple other things that you ought to do. I used to pray to my father. I mean, my daddy. You know, my daddy, Winton. His name was Winton. My granny named him after the Winton automobile back in 1917. I used to pray to my daddy. I'd say, Daddy, would you please give me my allowance? And I'd pray further, and I'd say, Daddy, would you please give me movie money? And I'd pray further, and I'd say, Daddy, would you please take me hunting on Sunday? And sometimes my daddy would answer my prayers. And sometimes he'd give me my allowance, and he'd give me my movie money, and he'd take me hunting. You know, he gave me the things that I asked for. Daddies are that way. Daddies love their sons, they love their daughters, and when my sons and daughters prayed to me and they said, Daddy, give me food. Daddy, give me this. Daddy, give me that. You know, I'm just like most daddies. You know, my little girl would say, Daddy, would you give me this or that? You know, I'd give it to her. Now, once in a while, children get a little uppity and rambunctious, and so when they do, you bring them back down to earth and you withhold from them their prayers. And sometimes my little girl would pray to me and she would say, Daddy, give me this Barbie doll, or Daddy, give me this or that. And I would say, no, no, Kathleen, you cannot have that. You were naughty. You were a bad little girl. You didn't make your bed. You didn't take out the garbage. You didn't obey your mother. You know, sometimes children, you know, pray to their parents. That's what a prayer is. You know, in court we make prayers. Did you know that? We pray to the judge. It's paragraph 20. In a civil action, we call it a prayer for relief. Prayer. Now, once in a while, religious people, you know, they pray to this invisible God. They can't see him. They don't know who he is or where he's at, but they pray. And the Bible tells you to pray. And when you have a need, you should pray to God and you should ask for it. Well, the governor of Texas, or governor of Georgia, he was praying for rain down in Georgia because their state's under drought. And there's a big lake down there, trying to think of this reservoir that furnishes the water to Atlanta, Georgia. And this thing's about half empty or half full, depending on how you want to look at it. And so they're talking about this thing's going to be dry in 2 years if things don't change. So the governor of Georgia, he's out there praying to God, you know, to give him rain. Now, the reason I brought this up is because I never did go to my daddy, give him the finger, tell him to go to hell, and then pray to him and say, give me my allowance. That just doesn't make any sense. So in the last program, I brought that to your attention. That's what we've been doing here in America. And so as a result of that, our prayers aren't being answered. Our prayers now are being denied us, and we're not getting enough rain. So I would suggest that instead of praying to Daddy to give us our allowance, give us our movie money, that we obey God and keep His commandments. And I think we'll get more mileage out of that. I tested that with my dad, and I noticed that when I made the bed, took out the garbage, mowed the grass, said yes sir, no sir, and didn't give him the finger, he was a whole lot more nicer fella to be around. Now, when my dad got angry, in the Bible, God says sometimes he gets furious. And he said, in one place, he said, I will pour out my fury upon them. I think that means that he's pissed. You know, just to get down on the bottom line here, pissed. And so the governor down here in Georgia says, well, I think I'll pray to God. And God's ticked off at us. I mean, he's getting to the point where he's going to go postal. And so I've mentioned this a time or two to you, and I said, you know, it doesn't make any sense to me. Now, if you're going to do that, you don't need to pray to God. What you need is a water collecting system over here. I mean, if you really want to beat God at his own game, I mean, you got to do something a little different, because he's not going to make it to rain as much as it was. And we call that drought. That's withholding the rain. You people ain't seen drought yet. When this God brings a drought, it's going to be a real drought. When this God brings drought, it doesn't rain half as much. It doesn't rain at all, period. A couple of examples of that is in 1 Kings 17 and Revelation chapter 11. There's the description of a God-ordained drought, where for 3.5 years, 1,260 days, tain't going to rain at all, period. None, zero, zip, zilch. I had a student here the other day. He's from Los Angeles, and he said, we had the lowest rainfall ever recorded in the Los Angeles basin. He said it was only 2 inches. I said, wow, that is close to drought. That's not quite drought, kids. You got 2 inches. Now, normally in the Los Angeles basin, looking on my charts here, you're supposed to get 12 inches. And in Los Angeles County, you're supposed to get 14.7. And you got 2. That ain't good. Now, down in Georgia, you got half as much. You get 50 and you got 25. That ain't good. But that 25 is twice as much as you get in Tucson. Now, I've mentioned that to you 15 times in this series of programs. Now, do you understand that? Now, the people in Tucson, they're not suffering from a drought. Hell, 12 inches, that's all they get, period. End of report. So they ain't got any drought down there. So you don't have a drought in Atlanta, Georgia either, as long as you're getting 12 inches. Now, you can get by on this 12 inches, and this book called Harvesting Rainwater is going to tell you how to do that. So if you want to give God the finger, and you don't want to obey God, keep His commandments, then you need this book. All of you pagans out there that don't want to obey God and keep His commandments need Harvesting Rainwater. Reason for that is you're going to have to get used to getting used to a lot more drought and a lot less rain. You people out there in Phoenix, Arizona, you know, you were used to, when you built that project over there, that Central Arizona project, you're getting 15 million acre feet a year down the Colorado River, and you're splitting that up with those good folks over in Los Angeles. All right. Now, listen up, because the God of heaven says he's going to turn your heaven to iron and turn your earth to brass. Now, that isn't going to be good at all. That's why I've suggested over the years, I think we should quit giving this God the finger. This isn't paying off at all. Now, this is getting expensive. It's getting real, real serious. And when you get down to 2 inches in 1 year, you know, in Los Angeles, you're supposed to get 12. You get two, you know. One of these days, you're going to shut that faucet off altogether. And for 3.5 years, according to Revelation 11 now, you know, for all you religious guys out there, you don't believe this either. If you pagans think that the religious guys believe anything they see in the Bible, they don't. They don't. It's just that the irreligious guys are more pragmatic than the religious guys. Because, see, the irreligious guy, he says, there is no God, and I don't need to pray. The religious guy says there is a God, and he's out praying to that God while he's giving him the finger at the same time. Now, nobody in his right mind gives his old man the finger, does he? I never did. Just goes to show you I wasn't crazy when I was a kid. Because I was raised in the era before child abuse, and I don't think I'd have survived that. I don't know what my daddy would have done if I'd have gave him the finger. And I'll tell you something else. I wouldn't want to find out either. I mean, he beat me within an inch of my life more than once without giving him the finger. I just can't imagine what he might have done if I'd have gave him the flag, you know, the international signal of distress. So anyway, you know, you think I'm a crazy lunatic today. Well, I was pretty sane when I was a kid, because my daddy wouldn't put up with that kind of crap. And there's a God up in heaven he ain't going to put up with much longer. He's been putting up with this for a long time. He's been putting up with religious guys like Jim Baker. I told you about him in the last program. Jim Baker. These are the guys that run around, you know, telling you to pray and getting real religious and going to church and all that. And then he's dinging his secretary. You know, a truck driver is out here dinging a lot lizard in the back of a Husky truck stop over here. We can expect that. That's normal. He's going down to Flo's place to get a little on Friday night. You know, that's normal. I didn't expect that from Jimmy Swaggart. And you see the difference between California, where all of you irreligious people live, that is, all of you pagans, and Georgia, is that Georgia's in the heart of the Bible Belt. That's where all the Baptists live. That's where the Southern Baptist Conference resides, in Atlanta, Georgia. That's where all the people, you know, that go to church, pray to Jesus, and they got a drought down there. And now, you don't have to be real smart to figure this out. If you're reading the Bible, and here's God over here now, remember I told you? And he said, I'm going to withhold the rain. He says, I'm going to shut up the heavens for 3.5 years in Revelation 11:6. That 2 inches down there is going to seem like a lot of water when it doesn't rain for 3.5 years. And I'd suggest to you folks, when you start thinking about that. Now, that's what harvesting rainwater is all about. For those of us that are about to have our water shut off, maybe we better start saving all that we can. So I told you about this guy down in South Africa. Actually, he's in Rhodesia, right close to the South African border. And he's got 8 ways to save this water. 8 ways to make yourself water independent. Water independent. And I told you about number one. He said, you know, this water harvesting principle, number one is to begin with long and thoughtful observation. Well, number two says, principle number two, start at the top or the high point of your watershed and work your way down. That's the wildest concept I left you last time, last program. God, I can't believe I didn't think of that myself. Yes, sirree, Bob, you start saving water from the top down, and that's because water runs downhill and payday's on Friday. Every plumber knows that. water runs downhill. So I told you last time how this guy had one real neat passion fruit plant down there covering his cistern to prevent it from evaporating. So he saves his water from evaporation, and he waters the passion fruit from the water out of the system after he's used it in his house, and it's called gray water. And that's just one of the many water saving or water use programs in this book called Harvesting Rainwater. Craziest thing I ever saw in my life. I looked at it and I said, I can't believe I've been this dumb this long. There's enough rain falling everywhere in the world to support everybody there, save for a couple places. Now, like Los Angeles, California, when you guys get down to 2 inches a year, you ain't got enough rain to support you there. You got to have four. And there's a few places in the world where you don't get 4 inches a year, and then you got to have some subsidized water. When your water, when your rainfall gets down to 4 inches a year, like Yuma, Arizona, yeah, you're going to need to drill a couple holes in the ground. Yeah, maybe you do need a dam and a couple of pumps. Now, for all the rest of us, there's enough water falling right where you're at to furnish all of your needs where you're at. And let me give you an illustration. Remember I told you in Eureka, California, now you know you're not living on 2,000 feet. You've got a lot, 5, 6, 8,000 feet. But if you're getting 3 feet of water, 3 feet of rain, I pointed this out, did the numbers for you. Just the water falling on 2,000 square feet of roof area will give you all the water that you're going to use in a year. Just off your roof gives you all the water that you're going to use. You take the amount of water that's coming through your water meter right now, you people in Eureka, California. You got enough rain coming right down on your roof, 2,000 square feet, to furnish the same amount of water. And you're draining that off into the Pacific Ocean. So I showed you that, and I said, now the system that this black guy down in Rhodesia came up with, he says, let's save that water. Now, he doesn't have 3 feet of water like you good folks up in Eureka do. He's only got 12 inches in a bad year, 20 inches in a good year. He's got somewhere around one-third to one-half what you guys have. And he's got enough soil moisture that he can tide his banana trees over for 2 years if it doesn't rain. Did you hear that? 2 years if it doesn't rain. Now that's impressive. When you got a 2 year supply of water for your vegetation. So I told you the story about the remember the driveway? You water your concrete driveway and then put a bale of hay on it and water the bale of hay and then sprinkle some grass seed on it and see which one grows the fastest, the longest. That's the story of organic. Yeah. Got to have organic material, boys and girls, to grow things. And this organic material is pretty valuable. And here in the city, we take our organic material, you know, off of our lawn mowers. We take our grass clippings, put them in bags, and we ship them away to the landfill. We pay money to destroy our organic material, get rid of it. That's the last thing we want. And then we pave it over with concrete and blacktop and wonder why we have drought. Okay, if you want to learn more about how to get out of that drought, then you need the rainwater harvesting book. It's $25. That's what I paid. If this book does not pay you back $10,000, then I will eat my proverbial hat. And this book is a gold mine. It's worth its weight in gold 10 times over. I've never seen anything like it. And I'm a farmer. I'm a plumber. And I told you, water runs downhill, paydays on Friday. The place where you get the most bang for your buck is little dams at the high end. And we here in America build all of our big dams at the low end and pump it uphill. We got our heads up the wrong end. That's the bottom line. Then on top of that, we run around giving our God the finger. He shuts off the rain, cuts down by half, and then we got the gall to go pray and say, oh, give us more rain, Daddy. After we give him the finger, we say, Daddy, give us more rain. Number two, when you're feeling ready to create water harvesting structures on your land, you start at the top, highest elevation of your on-site watershed. See figure 1.12. That's where they got a house over here with the figure of a man standing on the roof ridge, the roof pole, the ridge pole. You start at the top. You should also state this rule one, start at the beginning of the water's flow over your buildings and land is at the top. To begin with, form a mental image of your watershed. It's a watershed or a catchment area, as it is sometimes called, as the total area of a landscape draining or contributing water to a particular site or drainage. The watershed for an erosion rill cut on a bare slope might be no more than 20 square feet. The watershed for a river may be millions of acres, covering mountains, hills, valleys, mesas, and drainages. Your lot is a miniature drainage area. You know, I never thought about that. It's so simple. You know, we're used to going to school and looking in the books, and they'll show us a map of the Mississippi River drainage basin. All right? Well, listen, did you know that your lot, your one-acre lot, is a miniature drainage basin? So you go out, remember rule one, go make some observations. You go out there and you see, well, look at this. When it rains on your land, you'll see water running across your land, and it'll be running to the low spots. The water from the high spots on your property are going to run to the low spot on your property. Did you know that? The highest spot on your lot, living in the city or the suburb, is the ridge pole on your house. And then the water runs downhill from there. So we start collecting the water off of the roof, and we want to drain that to the highest possible point. All the water comes off of your roof by gravity. You don't need any pumps to pump the water off your roof. So why would you want to build your dam down at the low end? And you want to start your water catchment or your collection on your roof. Then you want to drain that down into your cistern. You want to keep your cistern as high as possible, and drain out of your cistern into your house. Now, you know, we Americans, we got to have showers. You know, come on. We got to have pressure pumps. And so we're going to have a little power, which you do with a solar pump. I got a little pump out here, kids. It pumps, I think it's a gallon a minute, something like that. Runs off of a battery. I think it's 24 volts. I think our power out here is 24. Yeah, 12-volt batteries, but I got 24 total volts, as I recall. I think that's what the man said. And that little pump out there will pump water into my house and give me all the pressure that I need for my shower. So I've got a couple of tanks out here, see? So what I did was I got some springs. Now, I can't control these springs. They come out of the ground where they're going to come out of the ground, and my house is already built. So I went down to the spring there below the house, and I put in a solar panel and a pump. And that solar panel provides the power to run the pump to pump the water up the hill into a 2,500-gallon storage tank up in the air. Gravity then takes it out of the tank into another pump, which pressurizes it to pump it into my house. It's all done automatically from the sun and from the water running out of the ground. I turn on the faucet and I got water. So this goes to show you. See, I've been practicing some of what I see here in this book called Harvesting Rainwater. Rainwater flows off the ground, runs into the ground, comes out of the spring, and I pump it with the energy that I get from the sun free up into my tanks, and I use the gravity free. It flows down into the pump, which is then pressurized by the same sun, pumps into the house, gives me my shower, and then the gray water runs out, and it waters some plants. Isn't that just real special? All right. You're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we are heard worldwide over the Internet daily. Now, if you'd like more information about our law school and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Remember, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's eight schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, then please go to the homeschooling page on our website. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives that can be accessed through the website as well. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law Hour brings you timely reports. These reports are on law. We have reports on science and reports on education. We report politics and religion and reports on health and report history. And we report economics and news and current events. And we do that 7 days a week. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, these sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. Now, we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners from these programs, from these publications. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors and publications endorse and recommend us. Most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoint isn't totally endorsed necessarily. Sometimes they are, but sometimes they aren't necessarily endorsed here by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They're mine alone. And they don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or staff of this network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct. And the number to call direct is 417-273-4967. We're talking about harvesting rainwater. We need to harvest rainwater when we give old dad the finger and he gives us drought. And that's where we're at today in the United States. We're getting drought here. We have about 13 states out in the west, that is, you know, west of the 100th meridian. It's pretty dry out there to start with. Well, we say it's pretty dry. East of the 100th meridian, which runs up and down out around Kansas, mid-Kansas somewhere, we get a little more rain here in the eastern United States than they do out in the west. Now, here in the eastern United States, we're getting drought. Then we're getting drought not because we're causing it. We're exacerbating it. We didn't cause it. It's our God that is withholding the rain and causing this drought. And he's got an agenda. Our God does. God, the creator of the universe, he has an agenda. And his agenda revolves around the Ten Commandments. And he has an agenda like thou shalt not steal. He'd like to see all auto theft abolished and done away with. Thou shalt not commit adultery. He would like to see everybody married. He'd like to see everybody married and not committing adultery. He doesn't care much for sodomy, bestiality, or dinging the secretary on Friday night. He doesn't like that. And as a result of that, he has some penalties. These are called laws. Laws have to have penalties. Without penalties, you don't have a law. A law without a penalty is a suggestion. These are not the Ten Suggestions, they're the Ten Commandments. When this guy speaks, he wants to be heard. He's been speaking. He hasn't been heard. He's gotten to the point where he's a little ticked off now. He's not furious yet. He hasn't gone postal on us yet, but he says he's going to. Now, I haven't seen this guy in action. I have never seen this God in action. I've heard about. I've seen some examples in the Bible where he's gone postal. He went postal out at the Red Sea, killed the whole Egyptian army, and got them all. He went postal at Sodom and Gomorrah, killed them all. Well, you know, I say all. There's two or three survivors, kind of like the Titanic, you know. The Titanic was the ship that God himself couldn't sink. Remember that? They said, this ship is built by the low bidder, and it's the ship that God can't sink. Well, you know the story about the Titanic, don't you? It sank. Now, this guy says, I got some rules, I got some regulations, here's what I want you to do. The people in Georgia said, we ain't doing it. And they got drought as a result of it. The people in New Orleans said, we ain't doing that. And they got Hurricane Katrina. You people out in the West said, we ain't doing that. And you got drought for 10 years. All right. Now, I wouldn't have known that if I hadn't read it in the Bible. So I'll tell you where I read it. It's in Leviticus 26. I gotta get my numbers straight. Go to Leviticus, third book of the Bible, chapter 26. Penal clause chapter. Tells you in spades. And Deuteronomy 28. Two chapters. Leviticus 26, Deuteronomy 28. And he says, hey, listen, I'm gonna send you some drought. It's gonna get real bad. Now, here comes a guy. Let me give this guy's name and number. This guy's name is Brad Lancaster. Wrote a book called Rainwater Harvesting. They got a website. It's called www.harvestingrainwater.com. And then if you want to get a copy of the book, they've got an address here. It's called Rainsource Press. Rainsource Press. And they're at 813 North 9th Avenue. That's 813 North 9th Avenue. Tucson, 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 Arizona. Good place for harvesting rainwater to be located. Tucson, Arizona, 85705. That's their zip code, 85705. That's here in the United States of America for all you listeners over there in South Korea. Hey, listen, you people can do this in South Korea, too. You can do it in Japan. You can do it anywhere you want in the world. You can do it where there's a rainforest. You can do it where there's a desert. Doesn't make any difference. This harvesting rainwater can make you water independent. It's a wild new idea. I recommend it, especially you religious people out there, because you people don't want to obey God and keep His commandments. You're going to need this harvesting rainwater because your water is going to get cut off. And then you're going to need to learn how to save all that you can. Now, so far, it's been raining quite a bit here, and we've been harvesting rain in due season here in Missouri, but I got holes drilled in the ground, and I depend upon this groundwater. I learned that from my daddy. I learned that from all the people around me. I went to public school. I was institutionalized for 12 years. And I've always got it. I was a practicing communist till I was 42. I used to line up and share the shortage. Then one day I got to reading the Bible and talked about property and property rights, and then I read Blackstone's commentaries and Kent, Koch, and Cooley, and I said, oh my God, these people all obeyed God and kept His commandments. These people didn't stand in line to share the shortage. Hell, these people practiced property and property rights, the Ten Commandments, and had abundance. They were all filthy rich. My great-great-great-granddaddy Abraham, way back about 84 generations ago, he had $175 million, you know, in today's dollars, $175 million. He had 31,800 head of livestock and 318 hired hands. My old great-great-granddaddy, he had a lot of money. Of course, he was a good buddy of a guy named Melchizedek. We call him Jesus today. He was a great buddy of this guy that we call Jesus, another governor down in Georgia. He's praying to Jesus to bring water, bring rain. mentioned that to you the other day. So harvesting rainwater principle number two, you start at the top. Now there's a principle number three, start small and simple. You ever heard of the KISS principle? Keep it simple, stupid, K-I-S-S, keep it simple, stupid. Small is beautiful. Now I got to pause right there. No, no, not in America. Grand Coulee Dam is beautiful. So they say, start big at the bottom. Here in America, start big at the bottom. This guy says, no, no, start small at the top. Water runs downhill. Payday's on Friday. Small is beautiful, and perhaps more importantly, when it comes to water harvesting, it is less expensive, easier, and more effective than starting big. So here in America, we start big. We want it to be as expensive as possible, and we want it to harvest the least amount of water that we can, and we do. We go down to the low end of the Columbia River, and we build great big dams, and we make great big impoundments, and we collect the least amount of water for the fewest number of people, and when we get all through, we have drought. Now, I told you that. You got the Tennessee River, the Tennessee Valley Authority. You got the biggest public works projects on earth. And drought. Wake up. Smell the coffee. The biggest public works projects in the world are here in America, where we have drought. That tells you a story. You see, big dams don't produce enough water for you people in Atlanta. Hell, you got big projects, and you're still short of water. Now listen to this guy. Listen to this old black man. He says, small is beautiful, and perhaps more importantly, when it comes to water harvesting, it's less expensive, it's easier, and it's more effective than starting big. Mr. Fury and his family build everything by hand. They build everything by hand. They spend almost nothing. They spent almost nothing on materials. They build everything by hand. They spent nearly nothing on materials. They did all of the maintenance themselves with hand tools. They could do this because everything was done on a human scale. And they kept technically and mechanically simple to reduce the need for maintenance, enable them to do their maintenance. So I showed you the other day, small dams yield more water than large dams. Small dams yield more water than large dams. Small dams produce more water than Grand Coulee and the whole damn Tennessee Valley project. Can you grasp that? Now, if we get down here to the human level, that's where you've got an acre, or 5 acres, or 10 acres. That's where I've got 5 acres, or 10 acres. So we build a lot of little dams on our little 1 acre, 2 acres, 3 acre, 5 acre miniature water basin, drainage basin. And we keep all of our water for ourselves on our own property. A family, just a family-sized operation, 1, 2, 3 acres. Hell, it may be a lot. You know, 50 feet by 100 feet. 2,000 square foot roof produces all the water that you need in Eureka, California. It won't do that in Yuma, Arizona. I'll concede that. But hey, listen, you know, for most people around the country, your roof on your house and on your garage and a little work with building a little catchment basins here on your property, and you don't need that water meter. Now, I wouldn't shut the water meter off. I mean, I wouldn't disconnect from the city water just because I build a cistern, you know, in downtown Cleveland. What I'm pointing out is that this doesn't cost very much. It's dirt cheap. You can build these little things over time. And you can put some solar panels up on your roof. You can put these little 24-volt power pumps out of your system into your house, you can collect the water off of your roof, put it in a cistern underground or above ground, and make yourself water independent. And then when the drought comes, hell, just collect whatever rainwater comes down, live your life. Well, you know, until it quits raining altogether. There's a couple of examples in the Bible where they had some real droughts where it didn't rain for 3 years. That's when God goes ballistic and he gets real furious. And at that point in time, you know, you can just about pack it in. I mean, if you're living out here and God shuts your water off like that, you know, he's getting real serious now. You people may get to the point where you have to practice the Ten Commandments in your own self-interest. Here's another principle, number four. And I'm cutting you short here. See, I'm not reading all of the story on these principles. I'm just going to hit some highlights. I'm suggesting you buy the book. If there was ever a book, this is a 1 in 100. Hell, this might be a 1 in 1,000 book. I've never seen anything like it. This is a 1 in 100 read. This book is worth its weight in gold. Now, let me see how much this thing weighs. It probably weighs a pound. Well, a pound of gold is 12 ounces. 12 times 900 bucks an ounce. Would this book be worth $10,800? Yeah. This book is worth $10,800. Because I'm going to make $100,000 off of the water I harvest off of what I found out in this book. So I just want to pass it on to you. Yeah, this book is worth its weight in gold. This is the Brad Lancaster book, Rainwater Harvesting. Now this book fits together with our plan here, our program here, with how to make $100,000 on 25 acres or less. The reason I tell you that is because I can't think of anything better than food and a famine. And we're headed for famine, and Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28 tell us that. Now, we're not there yet, but it's coming. We're headed in that direction. Unless we get off this track, it's going to take us down that siding. So I just wanted to pass that one on. I can't think of anything better than food and a famine. So I said, you know, I can't think of anything better than farming. Now, you know, up until now, farming has not been a very good occupation. We farmers, you know, we got into going to college. We went to college like I did, went to ag school, and you learned how to use chemicals and dyes and sprays and poisons. You learned how to take the most profitable enterprise ever created by the mind of God that produces an 87,200% return and turned it around until you lost money. Boys and girls, only a farmer could take an 87,000% return on his investment and lose money on it. Hell, that's better than banking. That's better than insurance. That's better than drugs. You can't make that kind of return on heroin, cocaine, and pot combined if you owned the bank and insured it with Mutual of Omaha. And the farmers of America turned it into a loss. That's why I pointed out, see, what we've got here is, well, we're doing this thing backwards. See, it makes all the sense in the world for the Bechtel Corporation to build a great big dam like Hoover Dam or Grand Coulee at the low end of the water basin and pump the water uphill. Because that costs a lot of money, takes a lot of money, and makes a lot of money. I don't deny it. But, you know, for you and I, just Joe Sixpack and Sally Housewife, And we want to get the most bang for the buck. The logic says, let's start at the ridge pole on our roof. Let's collect the water off the roof into a cistern at the high end of our property. And then let's drain it, put it on a pressure pump. Let's pump it with solar power so it doesn't cost us anything. And let's get the water free that comes from the sky. Now, that's where we get the most bang for the buck. But there's no money for Bechtel or George W. Ball or the Kaiser Engineers and those kind of projects. But it makes all the sense in the world for us, you know, if we're suffering from drought, and you're going to get more and more drought because you people aren't going to go out there and practice the Ten Commandments. Now, don't sit there and kid me by saying, oh, we're going to shape up. You're not going to shape up. You're going to get worse and worse, and you're going to do worse and worse. I think you'll straighten out, but you ain't going to straighten out until you have to. Nobody straightens out until they have to. I pointed that out to you the other day. I said, I'm not going to turn the lights off in my office until the price of electricity gets to $10 an hour. When it costs me $10 to light my office for an hour, well, okay, when I'm forced to, I'll go turn the lights off. I'm just as lazy as anybody else. You know, as long as these guys produce cheap electric, we're not going to conserve. As long as we got all this cheap water out here, we're not going to practice conservation. As long as we got gasoline at $3 a gallon, we're not going to practice conservation. Hell, we burn as much gas now at $3 a gallon as we did at $2 at $1.50. And it's growing at the same rate, about 6% a year. But boys and girls, that's coming to an end. And when the price of gas hits $6 a gallon, we're going to cut back. We're going to quit driving our Winnebagos. Now, I can remember as a kid, you know, well, we didn't even have a car. I think in Corbell, California, there might have been 5 people out of 100 houses in Corbell that had cars. Maybe. When we saw a car, we ran out to watch it go by. that was like watching the train. The logging train came to town twice a day, bringing in loads of logs, got to all of its kids. We ran down, got up on our picket fences, and watched Eddie Aldridge as he was backing old number 5, the old Shane number 5, down the siding to unload the logs into the pond. Hell, when a car went by, we did the same thing. I think gasoline was about 2 bits a gallon. But it was rationed. Hell, you couldn't get it. You'll have gas rationing here in America. You'll have electrical brownouts, and you'll have electrical rationing, just like they have in Zimbabwe. Because we're managing our economy just about the way we're managing the Zimbabwe economy. And so the final analysis, we're going to have the same kind of hyperinflation, the same kind of economic problems that they've got over there. You know, all you got to do is just do what the losers do, and you can lose just like they do. Do what the winners do, you win. Do what the losers do, you lose. So in this program here, small dams yield more water. And then there's another principle, number 4, spread and infiltrate the flow of water. If you infiltrate the flow of water, it goes into the ground. It will recharge the aquifer. See, we're doing just exactly the opposite. What we do is we drain the water off of the land into the rivers and down to the oceans. We do not infiltrate the water into the soil. See, if we did that in Kansas, Nebraska, if we did that in the aquifers, the water would recharge. We don't do that on our farms. I mean by the millions of acres. We drain the land. We don't infiltrate the water into the soil. We drain it. That's why we have drought. Now, draining the land makes all the sense in the world. I don't deny that. That's where the money's at. Draining it. That's where the money's at, not recharging the aquifer. Well, okay. You know, you can do that if you want to. We burn the corn stalks off. I mean, hell, in the fall of the year, you know, we burn all the stubble. Instead of using that organic material to incorporate the water, the moisture, the rain into the soil, we burn it all off. Then we drain the water from the land because it won't absorb. And so it causes great big pools and puddles. And so we tile the fields and drain the water. And then we irrigate it. Huh? But when we irrigate, we pull all of the water out of the aquifer. It isn't recharging the aquifer, and the aquifer is going dry. What are we going to do when the water's gone from the aquifer and we can't irrigate? And the rainwater is dried up because we won't practice the Ten Commandments? Can you say starve? I mean, come on, kids, let's wake up and smell the coffee. You know, some of this we're doing to ourselves because our God is punishing us, and some of this we're doing to ourselves, and it's a natural outgrowth of our actions. You know, global warming isn't coming from burning coal, but burning coal is throwing gas on the fire. I don't deny it. Burning coal isn't solving our problem. And when the greenies come along and they say, we need to use more solar power, our government tells us that won't work. Why, we're only using 1% of that solar power and alternative sources. Boys and girls, if one house can be run on solar power, every house can be run on solar power. We're not going to put in solar power on our homes as long as the electricity's cheap. I mean, come on. We're not going to conserve water and channel it back into the aquifer as long as it's cheap and we can pump it out of the ground. That isn't going to happen. But hey, all that's coming to an end. There is an end result from our wayward actions. And when this comes to pass, you know, there's going to be some god-awful severe shortages. So again, in the last minute or two, let me suggest harvesting rainwater. It's called rainwater harvesting for drylands, written by a guy named Brad Lancaster. It weighs about 1 pound. It's a 1 in 100 book. If this book cost you $10,800, which would be 12 ounces of gold, it would be worth that amount, because the information will produce many times the $10,800 cost of the book. Now, I bought my copy of the book for $24.95. I think $24.95 is dirt cheap. Dirt cheap. And I have taken the time to run through a lot of little stories over here, and I gave you the rainwater examples, and I showed you from the scripture, and I told you the story. Story's over. Story time is over. Now that you got the information, you can do whatever you want. Now, you need more detailed information than you can get off this program, because all I can do is sit here and sell this guy's book. He doesn't pay me to sell his book. In fact, if this guy, Brad Lancaster, ever heard this program, he'd probably tell you that guy Gordon's some kind of a kook and I don't want anything to do with him. Because see, when you tell a story like this, it makes a lot of people mad. See, all the people that produce coal, they're just mad as hell. They didn't want to hear this. And all those Christians and all those religious people down in the South, and I said, hey, you guys have your heads up the wrong end. They didn't want to hear that and made them all mad. If you tell somebody the truth, it makes them mean. They get real mad real fast. All right, now this guy has got a web page. It's www.harvestingrainwater.com. Simple enough. www.harvestingrainwater.com. Get a copy of the book. I think you'll be glad that you did. Hey, I'm running out of time again, young fellas, young boys and girls. I've got to leave it right there and remind you that you are listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Keep in mind now that the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. We are open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now remember, the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Okay, our time's up. We got to leave it right there. So we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody. And good night, friends.